Hi, Tina Marie 477. Just want to welcome you to my show. For new listeners and returning listeners, thank you for coming back. Now, today I'm going to talk to you about autism. Autism is a very personal thing to me because I have an autistic 15-year-old and she is severe, high functioning, mostly nonverbal. And it's challenging at times, but it's gotten a lot easier from the beginning. And so I guess what I'm going to talk to you about is the journey that I've gone through with my daughter and my relationship. My daughter was diagnosed at the age of 2.5, almost 3, Harbor Regional Center. We went in due to her toe walking, because she had developed what we thought was typical, and later on she started slipping away, and when you would call out to her, she just wouldn't look at you, she wouldn't respond. Things were just slowly blurred, you know, in her development, and we finally came to a point where something's just not right here. And so we went in and we did the little survey thing, and she was tested, and it became obvious that what they said, your daughter's autistic, you know, she has autism. And at this point we never really knew what it was all about and whatnot, and all we could do was just basically feel the sadness, because obviously, you're feeling for this child and you don't know how to deal with this. And how do you move forward from this point? You know, where do you go from there? So, before you know it, you're reading up on this, what is called autism. You don't know the cause of it, but you hear all these different theories. You know, you don't know if it's true, because you wonder, what do all these kids have in common? Or is it just the diagnosis, you know, where more being diagnosed, you know, because before it was considered mental retardation. Now there's a name for it. There's different levels of autism. And it's just, why is it that one child has it, you know, out of the family, or why do all of them have it? You know, because some obviously have more than one. But in my case, it's just one child, my firstborn. I had her at the age of 29, 30. You know, she was my firstborn. And, you know, everything seemed to be going very well throughout the pregnancy until later on I was developing high blood pressure. And obviously, I had her 2 weeks early due to the high blood pressure, and I was looking like the Hulk. I don't know how that happened, but it was crazy looking at my feet, looking like the Hulk, you know? This water retention that I had. So, we had emergency C-section with her, and I guess everything was going okay until one moment. Obviously, I passed out during surgery, but my husband was telling me that something went wrong and that the doctors, you know, had realized, you know, okay, they need to hurry this up, and, you know, and later on I realized that I had a scar, you know, because when I was having my second child, you know, the doctor was telling me, yeah, that they couldn't stop, you know, the bleeding, you know, for a while because due to the scar that I had. So I don't know what went on during this point, but why my daughter has autism. But I went through the thing of going through the internet like crazy, just doing research, you know, trying to figure out what's going on, how can I work with my child, you know, all these different gluten-free diets you read about, you know, and theories of vaccines and stuff. So you're like a mad person just researching everything you can out there of treatments and why, and But all you can do is just try to reach out to your child and do these different therapies, to improve their quality of life. And my child had texture issues. She couldn't touch anything, that was wet, or the smells of things, She would cry every day, when we first put her into school. She cried for a whole month, every day. And then that was one of the hardest thing was to leave her there. And we just would hear her cry and they would say, just go leave, It's just something that she had to go through and get over, It was the hardest thing to do as a parent, leaving your child at school and just waiting for some kind of improvement to happen and trying to work with your child. And your child's just being frustrated every day, because they couldn't deal with these oversensory issues that they had. And even, my daughter wore a diaper until she was like, I believe, 6 years old. She wasn't fully potty trained, until then, that was one of the things we had to deal with, And her hair, oh my goodness, her hair, she wouldn't even let me touch her hair. It was like, brushing her hair was madness, She had those issues. But yet she was fascinated by many things, Things of transportation. She had this repeating thing of where she'd play videos on the computer over and over, the same thing over and over. There were certain things that she was attracted to, and she had to, it was like an OCD thing, It's like she had to do it over and over. If we didn't go home the same way, we were driving in a car, we didn't go home the same way, we made a different turn, she would go into a meltdown. These were things that we became a part of her world and had to do for her happiness. We had to follow these strict guidelines for her happiness. And it was crazy, because it's just like we go places, and if we didn't do things in a certain way, she'd have a total meltdown. Now, another hard thing was explaining to my stepdaughter that this was her sister's thing, It was like we would go to Knott's, we'd go to the park, wherever, and if she had a meltdown, we had to leave early. And how do you explain that to a typical child? Oh, I'm sorry, we have to leave because your sister's having a meltdown. How do you get them to understand this is, their life, You have to be understanding because she's our family. And it's like going through Alzheimer's, or whatever, It's like you have to be understanding, to this person's needs, and you can't be selfish and say, no, I'm not gonna do this because I don't want to do it. You basically have to be understanding and loving towards this person's needs and give them what they need, and try to make it through the day without losing your mind, It's just how it is. I mean, how do you make a marriage last? When you go through all this of the needs of a special needs child, as well as the typical children's needs, how do you give each other support and stand together as a family and make it work? Yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but this is all that we know. This is what we do. It's not easy, but this is what we do. We try to be supportive. We try to meet that person's needs as well as everyone else's needs. I mean, my daughter had a special diet, and it wasn't until later that she started eating everything else. When she ate a banana, when she ate a hot dog, when she said, Mom, Dad, Daddy, these things were the biggest milestones, the greatest joys of our life. We had to wait forever for those days, but they were the greatest joys when it came. Because finally, she was showing us communication. She was showing us that she understood us. I can talk to her like a normal person. I know she understands me. Just because she can't communicate in every way that other children do, other people do, I know she understands. I know she's in there, and I'm reaching out to her every day to, show her that I'm there for her, because before she used to just lead me by the hand, to show me what she wanted, she would point, She went through the things of pecs and whatnot, and but a little bit every year, she says a few more words. She still needs assistance, in many things, obviously, body awareness, safety awareness. She can't be out there by herself, She does these odd little quirky things, sounds, and whatnot. But for the most part, in general, at the age of 15, she has come a long, long way. She participates in these Special Olympics. She can function, in everyday life things now, as to before, certain things would bother her. Lighting, it was just really, really tough to deal with, in the beginning. Because certain things still bother her to this day. SpongeBob. She cannot watch SpongeBob cartoons for the life of her. It's just too much to deal with, Only an autistic parent would understand this, But she's come a long way, I am really proud of her of how far she has come. She still toe walks, but that's just part of who she is, And there's things that, people can do to improve, the walking and whatnot, but it's a long road, You have to decide, and be totally committed to it, to improving their quality of life, But one thing I am amazed at is that she loves roller coasters. It's kind of scary going on roller coaster with her, But she really loves roller coasters. She loves airplanes. She loves buses, things of transportation. I don't know what it is about those things, but one thing that I've done with her is give her a camera so I can see what she sees, things that she admires and loves, It's there are ways to reach out and to see from their point of view, their world, But the thing is that obviously they're going to be stared at when you take them out in public. There are people out there who are not as understanding. They're going to stare, but obviously I've kind of gotten used to that, because she is my child and I look at her with love and I try to, create this awareness, and let everyone know, they're people too, They are our family. We treat them with love and respect because if you were in their world, I'm sure you want to be treated with love and respect, It's a situation that we're in, but we accept it with love. She's family, So it's something that is part of our daily life, and this is who we are, this is what we're all about. And all I can do is love her and try to improve her quality of life. And, I've been very lucky with her that I've had a good support team as far as her bus drivers and teachers, I can't say I trust everyone 100%, but so far so good. She's lived a very good life, and I just want to say thank you to everyone who's been a part of that system, her support team, and I want to show everyone this is not the end of the world. This is not a bad thing. It's just a new way of looking at life. It strengthens who we are as people. This is who we are as a family. And I just want to say, anyone who's new to this whole autism thing, hang in there. It does get better. It's a struggle, no doubt, But you gotta pull through, Don't give up. It's gonna get a little easier. You're gonna have your crazy days where you're just gonna cry it out, But think about they're living that life, what they're struggling with every day. Communication, it's just nonstop, You're gonna give every breath of life that you have in you to live, to give, to be this family, to be there for that person. So much love to you guys out there who are living this with me, this autism or any other special needs. I just want to say thank you for not giving up. And if you feel like giving up, don't give up. Please don't. I know it's not easy. It's a struggle, and you want to give up. It's just the hardest thing to deal with. But try to build your support system out there. Or if you want, reach out to me and I will reach out to you, let you know that you're not alone. Stay strong, hang in there, and be well. Love you guys out there. I totally support you guys out there, and I thank you for supporting me in each day that I'm living through this, being an autistic parent, a special needs parent. So, thank you. Have a great day. Talk to you guys later.